Limits, the show is now yours. It's a Donnie Football Friday. Myself, Donnie Football, and Austin Bechtold, who now will present to you the latest version of Bechtold's Breakdown.
On the first day of November, this wonderful Friday in college football, here we go. Let's start with the top five games. Joe, is a great idea with you and Donnie. If you had to pick at the start of the season, what are the top five games you'd want broadcasted on your network? I started with, we'll go five through one. Number five, Georgia, Texas. Welcome to the SEC, Texas. Georgia's been a perennial power in the SEC and all of college football, winning national championships in the last decade. That's number five. Number four, the third Saturday in October, Alabama and Tennessee. Always a classic game at Tennessee this year. Both teams were in the top 10 until Alabama began to slip. Tennessee, a really good team this year. That's four. I put Ohio State and Penn State at three. Top five matchup. Really excited for that one this weekend. Number two, I put Georgia and Alabama. What a thrilling game that was before Alabama ended up winning it with two touchdowns in the last minute. Number one's the classic, Ohio State and Michigan. Number one on my list, also receiving votes, the Texas-Michigan matchup that was played at Michigan this year. Ohio State and Oregon that went down to the wire, and LSU-Alabama, which is always a top-tier matchup.
And this topic comes in light of the reason the game's at noon tomorrow is because at the beginning of the year, as Mulsey just told us, the networks drafted games. And the guy from Fox drafted this game knowing it would be a noon start because he didn't want to risk losing it.
With his second round pick, it sounds like.
Yeah. Which of those games would have been your first pick, Donnie, that he just mentioned?
Believe it or not.
Before the year. Before the year.
Believe it or not, I think the game that he had at number five would be my first pick if I was a network. Texas and Georgia.
Yeah.
Because you're getting Texas, like they're christening into the SEC. They're expected to have a really big year. Georgia has been a power for the last couple of seasons. I know they didn't get in the college football playoff last year. There was a big debate. But that, to me, just feels like a game that would have an insane amount of eyeballs on it, no matter what. Because you want to see, can Texas handle the SEC where it's just different?
Yeah, I hear that. I think I'm always going to take Ohio State, Michigan. And now it's easy to say you would have made a mistake because Michigan stinks. I still think that game gets giant ratings. Last year, it set some sort of ratings record with almost 20 million viewers. I just feel safe taking that one number one if I'm a network. Limits?
Yeah, I think that's pretty fair to say. And just overall, some of these games, Georgia, Alabama, it's hard to pass that one up as well, but the newness of Texas is important. Beanie Bishop, how about this? Named the NFL Defensive Rookie of the Month. Chris Boswell, AFC Special Teams Player of the Month yesterday. All this and everybody wants to bench Beanie for Cam Sutton in a week.
I don't know if that is something, well, I'll say this. I don't think it's something they should really rush into, and I hope that they don't. I don't think they will, just given their style, that Sutton will walk right in here and just take all the snaps away from Beanie Bishop. I think that Bishop has played a little bit better than they maybe expected an undrafted rookie to do so. Now, Sutton, once he's in there, once he's settled, he's going to be the better player. They've worked into a pretty good situation where, okay, we can at least play Bishop for a majority of snaps until Cam Sutton gets the feet wet. But I think we get a couple of weeks down the line, then Cam Sutton will take over. But Bishop should absolutely keep working his way into the defense. He shouldn't just completely be set aside.
Not at all. I mean, he gets sort of unbelievably like demerits for the other two interceptions. Now, one of them, I'm still not sure he didn't tip that ball to Garrett Wilson, by the way, and that's why it went off his shoulder pads. And he caught it. And I'm not convinced on Cam Sutton either. You grow old fast in the NFL. A lot of things have happened with Cam Sutton since he left Pittsburgh. He was god-awful in Detroit. Now, he was playing a different position, more outside. Was forced into that because of injuries there, but he was awful. And then there's everything else that's gone on with him. So does he just step back in here as the same Cam Sutton that left town? Because 1 year is a lifetime in football. I'm not convinced of that. I would ease him back in, as you say. But Beanie Bishop, to me, is rising. So he should absolutely still be taking snaps while we get a look and see what Cam Sutton looks like.
Yeah, I agree. He's earned his way onto the field. And whether it be packages, like sometimes James Pierre is out there playing. That should definitely be Beanie Bishop's role. And also maybe just split it up until you find out who the guy is and materialize it on its own. Is this a welcome to Narduzzi November question mark moment? Pat Narduzzi in November in his career at Pitt is 22-12 before the biggest season, the biggest game in years for the Panthers against SMU. Do you trust in what Narduzzi has done this year? Will continue, Donnie.
Raise hell in November with Pat Narduzzi. I agree with what we were talking about earlier, and a Pitt could lose this game. I still think it's a team that ends up with 10 wins, and we'll have to discuss, you know, is that satisfaction for Pitt fans? I think it is. You guys think a little bit differently. But, you know, I guess I take more into account what happened in years past than you guys wanted to, which is also fair. I think it is a good sign that normally we see the slip-ups earlier in the season and not as much once you get later on into the years for Pat Narduzzi. I think it's a good thing when you don't have any losses yet.
Tell me again your number going into this, Limits. I got lost in that.
The record for Narduzzi in November?
Yeah.
22-12.
That's a lot of losses.
That is a lot of losses, yeah. 10 and more wins than losses.
So does that have me feeling good or bad, you're saying, going into this game?
Correct.
Totally irrelevant. Just completely irrelevant to me. No offense to the question, by the way. For me,
not
at
taken.
Least, it doesn't matter. It's a new year. It's a new team. It's a totally different quarterback. Some of Narduzzi's teams, it's like Tomlin. Some of them get better as the year goes on. Some of them get worse. This game's going to come down to the kid, I think, that they brought in from Alabama who looked like a star, a Heisman Trophy candidate, whatever it was, five games into the season, and now has struggled, maybe understandably, whatever. I don't know. Is he a star? We're going to find out Saturday. Saturday night. Tomorrow night, we'll find out.
Joe, I think you'll find this interesting. The Penguins and Ducks game last night on Halloween, Penguins on a six-game losing streak, only drew 14,945 fans. Excluding the pandemic, it's the lowest attended Penguins game on record in PPG Paints Arena history.
Wow.
Great note from our guy Destiny's Child on that one, tweeting it out.
Destiny's Child.
What do you think of that?
Well, it was Halloween, I get it. It was a beautiful night, so people probably wanted to do that. But make no mistake, there's a trend happening here, and that is that I think a lot of casual fans probably, and maybe even some hardcore ones, see the demise happening, and the nostalgia tour only works for so long. But really, the bigger story to me, Donnie, is it's a foreshadowing of what's to come. I don't believe that this is a Penguins town. I think it's an event town, a star town, a winning town. When the Penguins get bad, and they inevitably will, and especially when Sidney Crosby's done, you're going to see this go right back to times in the past where there was a largely empty building. I hope that's not the case. I hope Kyle Dupe Us stays off of that and can somehow do a mini rebuild. But I think that's where we're headed.
You could say that arena will become a ghost town. You like that one, Horse?
Oh, do I ever, yeah.
It was certainly apparent.
How about him, huh?
Boo!
It was certainly apparent last night that it was a light crowd. Now, I thought the energy was fine from the people in the building. Limits and I may be raising up the decibel level a little bit at times.
Yeah.
But you looked around that arena, and I'm sure you did this too last night, Austin. I looked around, and like I would you know, bump Sarah and just say, like, I've never seen full rows and almost full sections in the upper deck that were empty. Like, there were upper deck sections where, I don't know, you maybe had 25% of it filled. You had a couple people here and there. Like, it looked like a random Pirates game in the middle of the week in the month of May or something like that when
yeah.
you looked up and looked around. I've seen bigger crowds in there for wrestling events that I've gone to. So I would say, you know, if it's probably going to get worse before it gets better here again, and it's not going to be pretty when the nostalgic stars they do have are no longer in town.
I don't know if it was Rob Rossi or Josh Yoey that pointed it out, but the number of suites that were empty, and I pointed this out to you, Donnie, mm-hmm. when we were down by the ice, there were about 12, 13 suites that were just black, no lights, and nobody was there. Nobody in the suites. And that's also partly pretty alarming when you're looking at just the overall amount of interest that's going into it. All right. Two quick ones. According to a report, Drew Aller is expected to play in the Penn State game, according to a couple of different sources telling people reporting on the game. Have you seen Ryan Fitzpatrick, Donnie, on social media kind of going at like Adam Schefter, tweeting at Ian Rappaport, different things? Bill Belichick's 23-year-old girlfriend dressed up as Bill Belichick for Halloween this year. Did you hear about this?
No.
And did you hear what Ryan Fitzpatrick said? This is pretty bad. For all you 48-year-old hopeless romantics out there, just think your future person may not even be born yet with hearts.
That's a little bit alarming.
Yeah, I'm going to pass on this one, Donnie, if you don't mind. Limits, what are we doing here?
What? And then the last thing I had for you, Jason Kelce is expected to be in attendance at the Ohio State-Penn State game. Would you, either of you guys, be interested, if you were offered, to tailgate with Jason Kelce? And do you think that would be a fun experience?
1,000,000%, because I think I'm, what's the saying, like tails of a feather? With somebody like
that. You actually kind of look like him now that I look over at you.
I went to a Halloween party last weekend. It was a lazy costume, but all I did was toss on my Kelly Green Jason Kelce jersey and sweatpants.
That's unbelievable. A great move by you.
I probably should have just picked up like that beer that they, that beer company they own. I would absolutely do it because Sarah listens to their podcast, the Kelce podcast. The stuff they talk about, I sit there and just think, like, these guys could probably just be my older brothers. I could just pass for being another Kelce brother.
You could.
I mean, they're talking about wrestling. They're talking about Adam Sandler movies. Right up my alley. Right up my alley.
Maybe we can get one or both of them on a Donnie Football Friday. Would you like that, Donnie?
That would be awesome.
Limits, look into that, please.
That would be sweet.
Especially Jason, I think, would be realistic, actually. I have no interest in tailgating with the Kelces less than none. I don't care. Although I was in a Giant Eagle 2 days ago, and sure enough, I was in the cereal section buying granola, I might add, with little chocolate chips in it. Unbelievable, yeah. Donnie.